This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Got any bites yet? I do.
Just like that little girl told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Gear in the tackle box out on the fly. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Pour in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh. I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I kinda like a bit. And I don't mind.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with George Poveromo. Good morning, George.
Good morning. It's flying. The morning is flying.
I'm telling you what. Last hour.
I'm telling you. We extended,
two down, one to go.
Let's extend another 3 hours today.
We should do that, right? A six-hour show. What do you think about that, Rick?
I think as long as he keeps playing the good music. Rick is doing well on the song selection back there.
It's kind of ironic because as George said that, a text came in that says, you know, you really need a day off, Rick. You see that text? Because I filled in all this week on the Sheeman and Shepherd show.
For the whole week.
Well, pretty much except for Friday, yeah.
Okay.
All right, Rick, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
If you keep this thing going for an additional 3 hours and we offer you some Papa's Paw rum to sip, would you do it?
Yes, I'm in. It's a Real Talk Saturday.
There we go. All right. Let's head over to line two and grab Captain Steve Johnson. Hey, Steve, good morning. How's it going?
Hey, good morning, Debbie. Good morning, George. How are we doing?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great.
Great to talk to you, George.
I appreciate it. Good hearing from you.
Yep.
So, Steve, you're
fishing all day, Debbie, so I think you can make the show as long as you want. People will listen.
Right?
I do, too.
Let's do it. We should. Yeah. So, Steve, you're out and about this morning, right? Aren't you?
I am.
You're
at
a seminar.
Down here in Fowler, and we've got a great event going on right now. There's a speaker talking out in the parking lot. I happen to be inside the office here just so it's quiet. And we're doing a nice big seminar, so we still got time. We've got a few chairs left, so once the show gets done, head down here in your car and catch the last few speakers. And we've got some great speakers talking about different things of fishing, all kinds of things going on. So,
well, that's
come
that's
down,
awesome.
Check us out.
Yes, and I'm sure everybody's social distancing and being good girls and boys, right?
It's been easy. We got a big parking lot. We got lots of chairs spread out. You know, people are masking up, so it's actually working out pretty good. It's worked out well for us. Jim Griffiths from Nautical Miles got this all put together, and he kind of planned it out real well. And we've got a great crowd, and everybody's spaced out and being outside, and it's a beautiful day, so everything's working great for us. So.
Good deal. Well, what's the tournament and event update, Steve?
We've got a few things going on, not a ton. Locally here, we've got on the 13th of February, we've got the Nautical Market and Trading Flea Market. That's in Fort Myers. And on the 20th, Jerry, at the Flats Masters Winter Tournament Series, that's their third event coming up, and that's happening on the, the 20th. So that'll be happening up in Punta Gorda on the 20th. Up in the Tampa area, we've got a few things going on. On the 6th, we've got the first annual Sheep's Head Tournament. That's happening out of St. Petersburg. On the 13th, we've got Thunder in the March. That's happening in Yankeetown area. They also have, in Steinhatchee on the 13th, they also have the Fiddler Crab Festival tournament going on. So that's a big local event that they do every year. And we also have on the 19th in February, the National Redfish League Series is happening the 19th and 20th. And that's also in Steinhatchee. And that is a great event that they're starting up here in the state of Florida for a new redfish series. So over on the East Coast, we've got a couple of things going on. CCA. We are starting our banquets back up. We're spacing the tables out. We are no longer selling individual tickets. You have to buy a table only to more be able to sit with people that you're comfortable with. So no longer individual tickets will be sold, at least through June. We're determining whether you have to carry that on further or not. But so we are doing our local one here in Fort Myers as well in March. March the 11th. So if you're looking for tickets for the CCA banquet, give me a holler. Like I say, we are selling tables only. So it's $1,200 for 10 tickets on a table only. But the CCA chapter over in Daytona Beach is having theirs on the 4th of February. On the 4th of February, also, we have the 11th annual Two Georges at the Cove Billfish Tournament. That's in Deerfield Beach. And we also have on the 5th of February, we've got the Power Pole Redfish Tour Go Live event. And we've seen a few of those on Facebook Go Live. And we also have the on the 6th, the first annual Fishing Expo and Swap Meet. And that's in Port Orange. So a couple of things happening there. And I know Betty's got an event going on the 20th. Ladies Let's Go Fishing. She's got a freshwater seminar. And that's in Dania Beach area, so that's happening on the 20th of February.
Yep, she called in earlier, so we got the update from her, definitely.
Yep, she always puts on some great events all over the states. That's great.
Yes, she
does. Down the Keys, we got a couple of things going on. Wednesday the 3rd, we've got Casting for Cats Women's Sailfish Tournament. That's in Alamorada. And we have Swamp Guides Ball Fishing Tournament. And I believe that's all guides, so it's not really open to the public. That's a guides fishing tournament out of Alamorada down there. And also on the 18th of February, CCA has their banquet down there in the Keys, and that's going to happen in the Alamorada area as well. So that's about all I've got for today. Like I say, anybody that's interested in CCA tickets, give me a holler. My number's on the website, fish-florida.com. If you're a tournament director or anything and you don't see your tournament up there, give me a holler. We want to make sure we get it up there for you. Everything is free, and if you got any questions, feel free to email me or give me a call.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve, for the update. We certainly appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Good luck with the rest of the seminar today. We'll catch up with you next Saturday.
Okay. Sounds good.
Take care, Steve.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. All right. Now to head over to line one to grab crazy Alberto Nee, who's standing by.
I was about to say we shouldn't answer line one.
Good morning, Alberto.
Good.
You see what I'm dealing with here in the studio this morning, right?
Oh, my God. My ears are burning.
Or you hear what I'm dealing with.
Alberto, top of the morning.
Good morning. Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing super. And, you know, good to hear your voice, as always.
Likewise.
Yeah, we want to know what's going on with the Eagles, Alberto. How are people seeing you? What happened with the Eagles? You were on Wink TV talking about Eagles.
Yeah, you said Joe Walsh was your favorite guitar player in that band.
Oh, come on, George. You know, hey, don't spill the beans. Leave that alone. Yeah, actually, the Eagles. I mean, I decided to take my daughter out because early dismissal in school and to check out the Eagles. And I've been keeping abreast of what's going on. And it's about, you know, the American Bald Eagles. Where in the world can you just park and watch a pair of Eagles where they're the little eaglets. Unfortunately, you know, those eagles, the newborn, were sick, and I just wanted to take my daughter out and just say, hey, you know, this is wildlife, this is nature. It's good to expose her about the wonderful world of you know, animals and so forth. And long and behold, Wink News was there and another network. They said, hey, what do you know about these eagles? And I just said, hey, this is great, blah, 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 and they wanted to interview me with my daughter, and that's what it was all about.
I gotcha. All right.
Yeah. It's great. But I tell you, man, my ears are burning because what are you guys talking about? George, come on.
Hey, she coaxed me to come over here, leave my home at 4:30 in the morning, so I figured.
4:30 in the morning. Ouch.
I know, and we haven't even gotten into the good stuff yet. Yeah.
Oh,
my God. We're saving it for the end of the show.
Oh?
Yeah. So stay tuned. And yeah. Alberto, fill us in. So you've been out there lately. I saw a few nice bass on your Instagram.
Yeah, I caught some bass. Well, this is the time of the year where it's time for me to entertain some of my sponsors and product testing. Yep. And just, you know, getting ready for the ICAST and you know, and doing a lot of film shoots for the products and, you know, just being busy. And I'm waiting for those black tip sharks on poppers, which they're on the way down here. So basically, that's what I'm doing.
You're waiting.
Excellent.
Black tip sharks on poppers. That sounds exciting.
Yeah. It's something that I've been watching, monitoring for a long, long time.
Yep.
I've had the opportunities a few years ago, and and try to figure out what the pattern is like. So particularly right now, they're on the Melbourne section heading to Vero area. And very soon, the entire body of this massive migrations will be plastered all over the east coast of Florida. So, and on Pappas via surf fishing.
It's pretty
well,
cool.
Well, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to those pictures, too.
Yeah. But I have a question for George.
Yeah, let's hear it.
George.
Okay, I'm sitting down. I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay, since you're one of the top gurus of offshore, can you explain to us what are the similarities of offshore and inshore, some of the basics, so anyone that loves to fish can actually gauge similarities, so whether they could go offshore or inshore, what can they use, what do they need to know, and where are the patterns?
I think the conditions, without a doubt, for both, the most important thing in my mind is moving water.
Yes.
Whether it's a tide change or some moving water on the inshore scene, whether it's a current for your bottom fishing, whether it's a current for your offshore fish, striking structure, moving water is essential regardless. Even fresh water. You find some little area where some water's coming in from a creek going to the main canal, that's going to be more apt to hold fish. So moving water, without a doubt. And the other thing, too, some people think it's, for lack of a better word, an old wives' tale, but those salooner tables are crucial.
Oh,
I've been taking notes on those, and it's the major feeding periods when the moon is directly above you or the moon is directly beneath you, or you have a moon up, moon down. Now, the moon above and below you are the major feeding periods, which last for about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, or somewhere in that zone. And the minor periods, the moon up, moon down, good periods of activity, but to a lesser time frame, generally speaking. And when you look at that, boil it down, it coordinates with really the changing of the tides. But if you look at the solunar periods, when the peak times are supposed to be, and if you could arrange your fishing day, if you had the luxury of picking a fishing day where you had a major and a minor within that same day, that's when I would be out on that water. So moving water for sure, check those moon phases and go by the solunar periods, and that would carry over from your inshore, near shore, as well as offshore. You could do the solunar periods 100 miles offshore, and even though they're somewhat tidal related, there's still a gravitational force that moves water and current and stimulates the feeding of fish.
Is that the ingredients for your magical window? Just curious.
You're talking about the magical windows of the bite periods?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what triggers your major feeding blitzes. That's when fish tend to go on a feed. And if you looked at the history of the salooner tables, there were old hunting tables going way, way, way back when animal activity was at a peak, when they got really, really busy at certain times of the day and became active. And it's like all animals, be it a land animal or be it a fish, the salooner tables are really deadly accurate. If you kept a docket and marked all your fishing trips and figured where the major and minors were, over time you look, you'll see that your better catches or a lot of the larger fish were taken during those major feeding blitzes in those periods.
You know, it's so funny because I totally, absolutely concur with you, especially when I'm land-based fishing. When the snakes are ready to chew or the alligators chasing you, that happens to be the best bite. You know that, right?
It is. It's because everything's active. That's what happens. It just everything gets a charge out of it.
And, that's great information right there. And I remember, George, when you and I went to the Bahamas, I had logged, based on the photo that someone had taken of the white marlin, went back and looked at the solunar tables, and it directly correlated with the bite.
Yes.
That day when we got into those fish.
There's definitely something to it.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. Now, one last question that I think is very important for everyone. You ready for this? All right. How about giving some GPS coordinates of your favorite spots?
Well, one right now is only about 4 feet away, but it's been untapped yet. It's that bottle of Papa's Pilar rum.
Wait a minute. It's 9 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
That's why the lid's still on, but that would be the hot spot of the day if I had to predict.
Well, Alberto, and we've got calls stacking up here, so
yeah,
I'm going to let you go, and we're gonna grab Captain Greg.
And Alberto, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Debbie and I will see you over there.
And I'll see Debbie next week.
Yes, oh, wow. I'll see you next weekend. Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Can't wait.
I can't wait either. But anyway, I'm looking. Have a great day. Stay warm and just catch them up and spill the beans.
See you later, Alberto. Thanks for calling in. Okay. Bye.
My pleasure.
That's
bye-bye.
Crazy Alberto Nee. We're going to head over to line three and grab Captain Greg Stamper. Good morning, Greg.
Man, I got a follow-up after Alberto, huh?
Yeah, you do. And we're going to have to make it pretty quick because we also have Paul standing by on line two.
All right. Well, good morning, George. Good stuff there. I'm glad you're spilling some of the beans. It's nice to have you in the studio and give a new perspective to the offshore stuff.
I enjoy being here.
Good. So I'll tell you a little bit about this week. I'm sure that a lot of people have talked about it. Obviously, the trout fight has been the top priority for most of us. We are still catching a lot of fish. And they're anything that's in slot. A few of them are over 20 inches, but it's just really nice to see the numbers and, that we're able to catch 30, 40 fish in an area and then just keep moving on. We have caught a lot of pompano this week. It has been a little sporadic in between the bites, but if you find them, then they're there. If they're not there, then you're not going to catch them, so you don't have to worry about it. Now, the big black drum, those are all pretty close to our shores right now. They're moving into our wrecks and our reefs. You'll see these fish anywhere from 20 to 30 feet of water right now. Sometimes they are mudding, but not always. So if you have side scan on your boat, you're going to be able to pick these things up while you're maybe fishing on some of these wrecks and these reefs. They're eating shrimp and crabs. Crabs are definitely going to be your better bet because there's so many snapper out there right now. And we're talking about those little bait-stealing snappers. So if you go out there and you bring shrimp, you better bring 100 or 150 of them because you're going to definitely go through them. Now, in the back, we've had these real low tides, which is typical this time of year for the winter patterns. We get our super low tides in the mornings almost for 2.5 months, give or take. But what that's happening with this coolness in the air is those fish have been laying up tight on these flats. So if you have the ability, like I can get in about 9-10 inches of water to move into these areas very slow, I can do it on my trolling motor, but some people will be able to pull in there. You're going to find these redfish and these snook laying up tight, just basically suntanning. And if you have the opportunity, whether it's topwater lures, whether it's, you know, artificials, or whether you're throwing live bait like filtered, you're going to catch these fish. And the positive is these fish are all really big, so you can see them. They look like if you see 5, 6, 7 logs sitting in a spot that they weren't logs in the day before, well, that's them. Take the chances, and you'll do well.
Well, great, Greg. Thanks so much for that report. That's awesome. Appreciate that. We've got Paul standing by online, too, so I'm going to let you go and head over to grab his call. But
all right, you guys have a great morning.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You too, Greg. Take care.
Bye.
That is Captain Greg Stamper with Snook Stamp Charters. We're going to head over to line two and grab Paul from Fort Myers. He's got a question for George. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Captain. Morning, Captains Debbie and George. This is Paul. I met Debbie 3 weekends ago at Alligator Alley, mile marker 41.
Yes, you did. How's it going, Paul?
It's going good.
Good.
Caught my first sea trout on a fly on the East Coast. I'm over here on the Gulf Coast, and I'm salt fly fisherman. I'm, you know, like to know what's good to do for shore fishing, bank fishing. I don't have a boat yet.
So you've got a question about bank fishing with spinning gear?
Fly fishing.
You have a question about fly fishing. Okay, so are you asking me?
Either.
I would ask Debbie because I don't fly fish, and then you want to know more about this area, so I'm pitching the ball to Debbie.
So you're wanting to know, Paul, just where to fish inshore, where to fly fish inshore around here, correct?
Correct.
So,
I don't mind waiting.
So I would say the Sanibel Causeway Flat is a really good place to wade for sea trout. So that would be one of my first recommendations. Also, over by New Pass can be a really good place. If you go over by Lover's Key, there's plenty of places to fish from the beach over there. So those are my first two recommendations.
Okay. I've been to Lover's Key, and all I seem to do is be able to catch pinfish and lizardfish.
Hmm. What kind of flies are you using?
I'm using gotchas, deceivers, clousers.
Okay, yeah. So if you're targeting sea trout, for example, I would try. There's a fly pattern called the light bulb, or even you could use the Schminnow pattern, which is Norm Ziegler's pattern for snook. That also works really well for trout. Or any type of shrimp imitating pattern works really well. But again, I would try the Sanibel Causeway flat. So if you park basically where that billboard is right before you go over the causeway and you wait out there a little ways, and you fish that towards the latter part of the incoming, you know, when you've got a little bit more water, there's a drop out there, and look for that change in bottom depth. And that's a really good place to try. So that's my recommendation.
That flat's kind of a sandy bottom.
Yeah, it's sandy, but then there's also some patches of seagrass out there, too.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, thank you.
You betcha, Paul. Good to hear from you. Take care.
All right.
Have a good weekend. Bye, Paul. So we got a couple other texts that came in. A question for you, George. This is from Clam Pass. He says, I have a question for George about the Gulf Red Snapper regulations and his thoughts on whether each state should regulate their fisheries instead of the Gulf Council, because red snapper down here seem to be a healthy stock. So
I would tend to say if they could let the states regulate that, it would be a very good idea. Each state could keep tabs, even though the red snapper population is pretty much abounded everywhere. But I just think maybe a closer look, depending on the fishing pressure on those fish, I think maybe the regulations would be best served per each individual state on those.
Okay. Gotcha. Let's see. Did I miss any other texts here? We had a ton of text messages come in all of a sudden. Of course, Gator Tom had to chime in, Rick, with that we're stressing him and he needs his rum fix. All that talk about the Papa's
Pilar. A little rum talk will always get Gator Tom active.
Of course it does. We got to head off to a break. You are listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and on the 99.3 ESPN app. We'll be back after these messages.
There is magic in the Atlantic, from the Cape to Hatteras Light.
This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Knowing the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with George Poveromo. We're talking a little offshore. We're talking some inshore. Covering it all in here.
Just about everything.
Just about everything.
We even mentioned the skunk ape earlier on the way over.
We did. We absolutely did. But I have a question for you.
Okay.
We were talking about it a little bit on the break. I kind of gave you the heads up. A little bit of a heads up here. So out of all the species, out of all the offshore species that you've targeted in all your infinite years of fishing out there, so what's the one species that maybe you're on a quest to catch that took longer than expected, or maybe given the conditions weren't exactly right, and it took you a little bit longer to actually bring that particular fish to the boat?
Well, it was one that I actually inadvertently had given away. You know, I love offshore fishing. That's what I do. And because of the travels I was able to do with Saltwater Sportsmen, going to different remote areas and feature stories the whole bit, and to a certain degree the TV show, is I was on this quest to catch all the billfish species.
Okay.
You know, Pacific and Atlantic.
Yeah.
And early on, you know, I knocked off the sail, knocked off the Atlantic blue, knocked off the white marlin. And then later on when I had traveled, we got the black marlin, the striped marlin, broadbill swordfish. And so the only thing that was really evading me to this day is the spearfish, the only one that I need to complete the quest of the billfishes of the world. So, but going back to, it was the the late 70s, and I took out a buddy of mine fishing. He never caught a sailfish, and we caught him his first sailfish, and he released it. So then we're out there trolling, and we had baits out, and they said, you know, but let's see what else comes on the line you could get. He goes, I'd love to get a white marlin. Okay. So sure enough, I had a swimming mullet on a flat line, and I see this fish come up behind it. It wasn't a sailfish. You could ask, well, here's your white. Get ready. And the fish hits the mullet, and I tell him to drop back. He drops back. I said, come tight. He comes tight. Rod bends a little bit, and it pops back up. I said, bring that mullet back to the surface. He cranks it back up. Here comes the fish again, hits it. I said, free spool. Let him run a little longer.
Yeah.
Come tight. So he fights the fish. Didn't really fight that much at all. Got alongside the boat, build it. He wanted to mount it. So back then, you used to bring the fish in. So I brought in the boat, and I looked. It was a spearfish.
Oh, my gosh.
So had I known that was a spearfish, here I'm thinking I'm helping him out get his white marlin.
Right.
And had I known that, I would have given him a hard elbow, knocked him down, grabbed the rod. But, you know, so that was a missing link. It was caught on my boat.
Oh, man.
But I still didn't catch it, so I can't officially claim it.
So you still have to get that spearfish.
Yeah.
That's still on your list.
But it's not something that I'm pushing everything just to do. When that
right.
one comes, it comes. And so I'm not putting any time frame on it. And I know there's a spot in Hawaii you could go where they get them quite a bit. But, you know, I like just being out in my area there, the Bahamas or the Keys, trolling. If it pops up, it pops up. And, you know, if not, it doesn't. But that's the only link that I am missing, and I had inadvertently had given that away. And so,
well, and because it seems like whenever you are specifically targeting a certain species, then of course you never catch it. It's when you say, all right, I'm going to go out and catch a sailfish, then that's when you end up getting
and
a spearfish.
Yeah, so you just go out there and you troll for whatever species you want, and whatever comes in between, it's, you know, you take it.
Yeah. So the spearfish, you can, I mean, generally target them Bahamas.
Well,
off
they're
your
an
coast.
Incident, very, very incidental catch throughout the Bahamas and over here.
Okay.
You might hear of a handful throughout the course of the year that actually get caught. Now, like, there's a spot off of Hawaii that you could go to where you could actually target them. They come through in a much greater abundance than we even have on our side. So over here,
gotcha.
it's probably the hardest one to catch because of the rarity of that species.
And what do you think it is about the area in Hawaii where they're much more prevalent? Just deeper water,
like
much
no
deeper
idea.
Water,
whatever,
deep canyons.
You know, it's just whatever is conducive to that fish being more abundant in that one area compared to what we have here. Here are abundant fish or sailfish, swordfish, you know, a lot of them out there. And and we frequently get the blue marlin passing through on our side as well, and the occasional white marlin. But the spearfish, without a doubt, it's just because of the rareness of it is a little bit tough.
Gotcha. And then here's another one for you. So what about the craziest thing you've seen on your offshore fishing adventures?
Yeah, we won't talk about the dead body. I think,
no,
we had
people have to go to your website
that.
To read that
yeah,
story.
Go to my website.
Because you've got it up on your website, right?
It's georgepoveromo.com.
There you go.
And there's a little area there, like, behind the scenes, aren't behind the scenes, but just oddities, and we put the dead body story in there. But I would just say of all the craziness, and this was back in the era where all, like, a lot of drug running was going on, and we're offshore fishing, and I see this, we're about 20 miles out, and I see this boat coming back from the Bimini area, and guys are like waving, and so you're backing off, you don't want to let that boat get too close to you. Don't know whether they want to pirate your boat and use it for something or whatever.
Yeah.
And because of that back then, I had an M1 carbine that I kept in the console because that's what you had to do back then.
Right. Just, absolutely.
The heck with the flares.
That's self-preservation.
So the boat kept coming and I had gone in neutral and we're telling them, like, just stay back. And they kept, like, easing. So I had gotten, you know, knelt down and just grabbed it just to have it, kept it out of sight. And then my friend was up there looking, and they're saying, which way to Florida? Trying to have a conversation. You know, which way to Florida? And I was so intent on not taking my eyes off that boat that I just inadvertently pointed over that way. They went that way, that way. How far? Probably 30 miles that way. All right. And I'm just watching them. They turned, and they just started Island Away, and it's okay. We're fine.
Yeah.
It just looked like some really lost souls. But then when I stood up and I looked which way I was pointing due south into Gulfstream. So I think I inadvertently sent them to Cuba instead of our side. So I don't know whatever ended up, but that was sort of an oddity there. And I, you know, sign of the times. I didn't want to take my eyes off the boat.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, and that's all the stuff you got to be conscious of when you're out there. You never know. It's got to dodge those square groupers, and I'm sure.
And there's another story. I've grown up in South Florida, the Bahamas fishing, I've only seen a square grouper one time. You would think being the alley,
right,
that you'd see a ton of them, and you'd hit them and run them over. Saw one time. I saw, you know, a bill floating out there, and we pulled up, and we're like looking at it, and you tell people the story. They said, "Well, what did you end up doing?" I said, "I sped as fast as I could possibly get away from that bale and just got the hell away from it." And like I said before, I said, I'm a guy that appreciates a good night's sleep.
I don't want to be anywhere near this thing,
I don't want my door getting kicked down at 2 in the morning with either the feds or the guy who that bale belonged to coming back to reclaim
right.
it. You know, it's not worth it. I just sped far away from it.
Yeah.
That was the only time I've ever really seen that out there.
Yeah. I'm just out here catching fish. Don't mind me. Yeah. Okay, so what about, you know, we touched on it a little bit earlier, talking about a lot of people now that, you know, have bought boats. They're getting
yes.
out there on the water.
Yes.
So for a lot of these new boaters and anglers who are getting out there, let's say they're wanting to go offshore and mm-hmm. get some experience. What would you say, what advice would you have if someone's going out to fish a new or unfamiliar area? How would you advise them to use their electronics and try to key in on some of the best places to fish?
Absolutely. And I even really hate saying this because it simplifies the game for the newcomers, is the quality that we have electronics today are totally amazing. I run a Simrad package of electronics. And as I mentioned earlier, there are two big things that you should be aware of to make sure that you get in a zone that's fishy offshore.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom contours. You know, you want some bottom that's deep within the realm of the fish that you're pursuing. You don't want flat bottom, tight contours. They make these good electronic charts that you could boot up. Simrad, you know, has one now called CMAP Reveal. And
yes.
it's a high resolution bathymetric chart that you could see every nook and cranny, and they're building it for these different areas. CMAP also has highly detailed charts that show where these irregular bottoms in a more structure oriented bottoms. Very important. Somebody could pull up that chart without any experience
mm-hmm.
and look and mark and hit the GPS numbers or a go-to on their cursor to get to those zones and run right out. Then, of course, the machine itself, if you're an offshore, making sure that you have a dual frequency transducer, 200 kilohertz for working waters 300 feet in and a 50 kilohertz for working waters 300 feet to beyond. And that's going to give you the clarity. You could have the map up on one half, run mm-hmm. into that bottom contour spot. The other half, you're watching your sonar. And as you run into an area, if you mark bait midway through the water column mm-hmm. and it's close, stop and start fishing the bait. Or if you're running, you see like a big bottom spike or some kind of a structure,
yeah.
you could go ahead and save those coordinates and you could accumulate your bottom spots. And the other part of it, we talked about look at the bottom. Look at the water surface. We talked about any currents, offshoots or fingers from the Gulf Stream, or on this side here, loop current, that eddies that break free and come in. You want to know where that warm water meets the cooler nearshore slope water. Temperature boundaries breed nutrients. Nutrient brings in smaller bait fish. Smaller bait fish brings in the larger fish. So there's a lot of services we're offered. Ocean fishing forecast analyses will give you a text that shows where these temperature breaks are in your zone. And Sirius has their fishing item now that you could plug this in. It works on your Simrad, and it's a subscription service. They'll send you plankton boundaries, frontal strengths, so where you could see the big temperature breaks, but as well as the plankton accumulations. And areas that have the larger plankton accumulations
mm-hmm.
tend to have that life cycle. So if you look at the bottom, and then you compare that to the surface, the oceanographic or ocean circulation features,
mm-hmm.
you have a two-shot deal of locating zones up on top with temperature boundaries and bait that could hold game fish as well as the bottom. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, when you can combine the two, where you have to have a good current or a finger of warm water sitting over a prominent piece of offshore structure, you know, that's a double header.
Yeah, you're pulling all those puzzle pieces together and figuring out where those fish are.
And so it's just a matter of a newcomer looking at this chart and the information they have available to them and running out. And they don't have to be the greatest angler. They could have some, you know, baits that aren't 100% just rigged right or whatever. But if you get in a zone that has the best potential to hold fish, they'll start catching fish. And that's a lot better than having the best rigged baits and lures and dragging them in an area where there's really
where
no
there's
life.
No fish. Yeah.
So
great advice.
With electronics today, like I said, even the
game changing, totally game changing.
Almost anybody can get out there and get in areas where fish are right now if you know what to look like or look for on them.
Great tips. All right, we got to head off to another break. You are listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and on the 99.3 ESPN app.
They paid paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise and put up a parking lot.
This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
See, now somebody really wants us to open the bottle of rum, don't they?
You read my mind, Debbie. I said, he's working hard for this one. Now he's letting it all hang out.
This is Captain
Show's
Debbie
almost
Hansen.
Over. It's about that time.
I'm telling you. We are rolling into the home stretch here.
And he looks like a rum drinker, too.
In case you are just tuning in, we are joined in the studio this morning by Mr. George Poveromo. Thanks so much for making the drive over.
Ada, honor's mine. Appreciate you asking me to come over and do this.
Yeah, and I know, guys, we're getting a lot of texts about useless information. We are going to skip useless information today. I know, say it isn't so, but we've got George in here, and we're maximizing our George time.
I thought that's why you brought me over for useless information.
No, for useful information, George.
Yeah, I think if there's ever a time that we...
It would be today.
It would be today.
We're going to save the useless information for next week, so hold tight, kiddos.
We got Captain John Fetter on line one, by the way.
Okay, we're going to grab Captain John's call on line one. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, George.
Hey, good morning, John.
How's it going?
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fantastic.
Good, good, good.
Got a report for us?
Yeah. I mean, this week again, the Altamont Road was sea trout. We're just banging them away like crazy. Didn't manage to get quite a few pompano this week, though. Few reds, quite a few sheep's heads, small snapper, things like that in the back. So it was a really good week this week. So,
well, that is great to hear, John. So what were you, shrimp primarily on jigs under popping corks?
Pretty much 50-50. Shrimps on jigs and then shrimp under the popping cork. So... And like I said, getting the trout everywhere. Didn't matter what you were doing. Even if you're fishing up in the shallower waters on the edges looking for sheep's head or snapper, we were still picking trout up there as well. So there's definitely a good number of sea trout back there in Estero Bay, which is great news.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, John, thank you so much for calling in and for the report. We actually have a caller on line two, so we're going to grab Walt in the Cape. He's got a question for George. But you have an awesome rest of the weekend. We'll catch up with you next Saturday.
All right. You guys as well. We'll see you. Okay. Take care, Debbie.
Take care, John. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Let's grab Walt in Cape Coral. Hey, Walt. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll be real quick. George, I'm sure you're familiar with the 20-fathom rule over here in the Gulf.
Explain it to me. No.
Oh, it's the... I was hoping you could clarify it for me. It's usually January and February. We're not allowed to fish past 20 fathoms.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot find it anywhere this year in writing, and I've heard that it has been changed to February and March, and I can't find it. Can't get a straight answer anywhere. I thought you might be able to put some
You stumped me on that one. I'm an East Coaster, but right. I've not even heard of that over, on our side. Our side over here, we have, seasonal closures on our certain species of fish, but I've, not being from here, I've not heard. This is the first time I actually heard of it. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be of much help for you on that one.
Well, we'll throw it out there to the listeners, and if we get a text, what we'll do is we'll run through it next Saturday on the show. How about that?
That'd be great. Thank you, Debbie.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay.
Take care, Walt. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right, so George, I have one more question for you. Let's see if we can squeeze this in before the end. So, advice or tips for positioning your boat when folks are out there fishing the wrecks and reefs in terms of getting the right drift and given the current, wind, different depth ranges, boat positioning.
Okay, I'll give you a general rule on wreck and bottom fishing. Is a lot of it depends on the current. If you have a good current and good moving water, for the most part, it's best to anchor up and then work your chumming strategy and fish to wreck that way. If the current is very light or minimal at best, generally speaking, it's better to sit and drift and then cover some more ground. Now, if you want to dissect a good piece of bottom, be it a wreck or be it a piece of bottom structure or shelf, I religiously run the trail feature on my Simrad. So in other words, I have my boat icon up on my screen and I run the trail, so it's going to show me my exact path. So if we're making drifts over a prominent piece of bottom structure and we come by and we work one section, we could see the path of our boat.
Right.
If we really do well, we'll get right back up on that path and duplicate it again. But if we don't do anything, we'll see where we have been, we'll move over, and you could see how you're dissecting this piece of bottom as you're drifting. And until you find a good area to do so, then you duplicate those lines. So it's very important to know exactly where you're going and where you've been in a lot of drifting scenarios for structure fishing. And very important. And it's also a safety item, too, because if you're fishing unfamiliar waters and you see your trail going all the way out, you know that you could really zoom in tight on that and the way back in, and you'll get back to point A where you left. And that means going through some skinny waters or some little bends. If you got out and you dial yourself in on that trail, you should get back in safely. The same scenario with that as well.
Yeah, good tip. Yeah. And what about, so when you're using your electronics and say you're coming up on a wreck or a reef, how are you able to determine, can you determine now, given the technology that we're seeing with a lot of the electronics out there, the differences? What are you looking for in terms of differences between different species and spotting them on your electronics and bait fish? And just a few things maybe folks can keep in mind with regards to what they're looking for.
The biggest feature is the technology we have. We have chirp technology with our transducers. And what that means in short, you take a flashlight, hold it upside down, that beam that comes down, that's a standard transducer, so to speak. Okay, that beam comes down. If it's an offshore, it's a smaller circumference, which means it's more power to shoot deeper. If it has a wider throw, it's more shallower. It shows you more bottom area. Mm-hmm. Now, a chirp transducer, instead of having one sonar signal, gives you three independent signals coming from the transducer. So now you have three signals being broadcasted out and back up. That gives you superior target separation. So now you could really dial in on the wreck. You could see the growth on certain sections of the wreck. You can see some of these smaller fish that are laying tight to bottom or on the wreck themselves, and these individual fish stand out more. And it's really remarkable what you could see. So you look at the wreck, you see the life forms, and then you determine whether you want to go ahead and you want to anchor up and then fish them back, or if there's certain fish hanging off certain areas of the wreck, depending on where they are in the water column, you could ease over, drop a deep jig down to them, perhaps a live bait, and target them that way. But having the right transducer set up, and if you have chirp or could get a chirp-enhanced transducer, the difference in target separation is totally remarkable. And if you do any kind of serious bottom fishing, without a doubt, that's really a game changer.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned the CMAP earlier, and I remember previewing that. I think it was at the Miami Boat Show a couple years ago.
This is correct, and I'll give you one quick example. I think we got 30 seconds left. Is Bree Andrassy. I was doing a show with her, I had her to Key West. We were fishing the Marquesas. It was slow. I hit a couple numbers I had on the Atlantic side rock piles. It was terrible. That's when the CMAP reveal came out from Simrad. And I plugged it in, and then I saw this remarkable bottom that was about starting a mile away from those numbers I never even knew existed. Crevices, corals. It was amazing. So we go over there and go into a drift pattern, and drifting with a chum bag out, scored yellowtail, king mackerel, Spanish mackerel, big barracuda. It
you
just
guys got a
you,
few grouper, I remember.
Just shows you the exact bottom. If a bathymetric reading is like if you put your dive mask on. That so the differences in these charts, too, are totally remarkable.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., Discovery Channel, tune in. Because it's that time. We got to go. We got to wrap it up. As much as we would love to stay on air for another 3 hours.
I say we do it. Publicity stunt. Let's go.
Next time. Thank you, Rick, the director of this show,
for thank
pressing
you, Rick.
The
phenomenal
buttons.
Music choices today.
Yes. And screening the calls. Thank you, George, for being here
well,
this
thank
morning.
Thank you for having me come over
the
here.
Drive. Remember, all share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight Lines, we'll be back next Saturday, same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
I'm sorry it's ended, oh, it's sad, but it's true, honey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.